Service.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And I think, Seth, have you found that clip? There you go.
Obama rebuilt our country. Obama rebuilt our country. Obama rebuilt our country. Obama rebuilt our country.
Time now for Barack Obama.
He's our man, oh yes.
He cares for us like he is our mama.
He's our man, oh yes. Time now for Barack Obama. He's our man, oh yes. For us like he is our mama, he's our man, oh yes. Obama,
he'll take good care of me, so healthy we will be, and keep the people free.
Oh yeah,
Obama was meant to be. He'll fill our hearts with glee. He'll help us all, you see.
Time now for Barack Obama, he's our man, oh yes. For us like he is our mama, he's our man, oh yes. Time now for Barack Obama, he's our man, oh yes. Cares for us like he is our mama, he's our man, oh yes.
President-elect Obama's birthplace over in Kenya, is that going to be a national spot to go visit where he was born?
It's already an attraction.
Our country, Obama, they built our country. Obama, they built our country. Obama, they built our country.
He is not who we thought he would be.
Hear us cry, oh no.
With Obama, we will not be free.
Hear us cry, oh no. He is not who we thought he would be. Hear us cry, oh no. With Obama, we will not be free. Hear us cry, oh no. Obama,
he is more of the same. Tax and spend in his name.
Oh, oh.
Those bankers are to blame.
Oh, no.
Makes us dependent, he. Keeps us on bended knee.
Oh,
then tells us we are free.
But his birthplace, I'll put up a marker there.
It's already well known.
He is not who we thought he would be. Very Sotoro. His birth certificate we cannot see. Don't want us to know. He is not who we thought he would be. Very Sotoro. His birth certificate we cannot see. Don't want us to know.
There's government control, a socialistic goal. He will destroy our soul. This was not meant to be. This was not meant to be. All the people should be free.
I've now been in 57 states.
Sotoro, his name is Harry. Sotoro, just leave our country. Obama, just leave our country alone. Obama.
Alrighty, there you go. You know, so people think when he said I was now been in 57 states, they thought, well, he kind of got a little confused, but he wasn't talking about American states. He wasn't talking about U.S. states. There was 57 Muslim states. And Obama, remember, he said what that is the most beautiful religion, Islam. Mm. And so Obama was a Muslim. Anyhow, we got some lightning rounds articles. Go ahead, little Lisa.
Okay. Today, Congressman Michael McCaul spoke at the House Foreign Affairs Committee saying USA should be preserved and merged with the State Department. Let's take a look at why Congressman Michael McCaul would say that. Michael McCaul, insider trading has made him $576 million. He makes $24 million per month and owns a $20 million private jet. He is the one who wrote the TikTok ban bill and then invested $1.5 million into Meta after writing the bill. This U.S. politician makes an average of $24 million every single month. Congressman Michael McCaul lives in a $10 million mansion. That's where he keeps his $1,100,000 car collection, including his Rolls-Royce Wraith and a Ferrari 488 GTB. He even bought a $20 million private jet to fly from his mansion in Texas to his job in D.C. In the past 3 years alone, Michael McCaul has traded $576 million in the stock market. Now, why would Congressman McCaul want to make sure USA continues and is merged with the State Department? Well, the answer is simple when you understand that Tucker Carlson has had many people on his show with evidence that the State Department is behind the global censorship push. They're organizing it and have successfully installed censorship in countries like Brazil already. USAID is how they're funding that operation overseas. So you see, Congressman Michael McCaul wants to make sure the USAID money laundering operation no longer has to go through any more departments. They can merge directly with the agency abusing it. If the State Department can once again bring back censorship, as Congressman Michael McCaul clearly wants by authorizing the TikTok ban bill, he could make a fortune, as if he doesn't have one already.
Well, you know, here, do you know that USAID was funding ISIS? They were funding ISIS?
Yeah.
And just unbelievable, you know, how the corruption, I mean, and this is not, but here's the real crust of the whole thing. See, these, when they get these funds, that doesn't just happen. You have to have one of the congressmen or the senators, when they have to set this thing up, okay? This has to be a part of it. And once they've done that, then it's all about kickbacks, isn't it?
Yes.
It's all about kickbacks. And so how much of a kickback, John, do you think that Obama, when he gave that $4 billion to Iran, remember truckloads of cash? How much of a kickback do you think he got, 10%?
Well, it seems like the going price there is 10% for the big guy.
Yeah.
Remember Biden? He got 10% off the top. That was the cut for the big guy.
We know in one deal alone, that was $5 million just in one deal alone. And so, yeah, he was making big money from China. Owned him, didn't he?
Oh, they owned the whole family.
Yeah. And so, anyhow, I mean, just absolute, complete corruption. It's just completely corrupt. There's again, like I'm saying, I can't think of there's even one single Democrat in all of Congress or the Senate that's not been totally corrupted. You have an article there.
Yes, sir.
Ernie.
Yeah, go ahead,
John.
What
about Congressman of mine here, Crenshaw? You know, they've been all over him, the locals here, because he's making money hand over fist in the stock market. He's made huge amounts of money since he's been a congressman, and they've been in his face about it. And he's saying, well, it's just I do study the stock market. I'm making smart decisions.
Well, there's a company. Yeah.
There he is, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
He comes in with not very much wealth, and he's there a short time, and he's like made millions of dollars off the stock market.
Well, you know, we all talk about Nancy Pelosi because she was famous for insider trading, but then after this started and Doge is looking into it, they're finding out that Nancy's just she's not even at the top of the line. She's just in the middle when it comes. So now there's an internet company that are following all of the trades of the congressmen, and they're making that available so people at a price where people can buy it and get the information on what Congress, okay, is investing in so that they can have insider trading too. So, yeah. As for example, when the United States, we sent so many of our missiles, we sent so many of our rockets there, Hellfire rockets and Hellfire missiles over there to Ukraine. So they knew that we have to restock that. So as soon as the government got a big order from the Defense Department to restock these big companies that make these missiles, all of a sudden, all these congressmen within, you know, immediately invested in the stock, okay? So before that even became public knowledge, before anybody else knew about it, and that's what we call insider trading, and that's what they all do. I mean, it's just total corruption, isn't it? So, go ahead.
All right. President Donald Trump did not mince words Wednesday as he issued a scathing last warning to Hamas terrorists still holding hostages taken on October 7th, 2023. Shalom, Hamas, means hello and goodbye. You can choose, Trump wrote on the Truth Social. Release all of the hostages now, not later, and immediately return all of the dead bodies of the people you murdered, or it's over for you. Only sick and twisted people keep bodies, and you are sick and twisted. I'm sending Israel everything it needs to finish the job. Not a single Hamas member will be safe if you don't do as I say. I have just met with your former hostages whose lives you have destroyed. This is your last warning. For the leadership, now is the time to leave Gaza while you still have a chance. Also, to the people of Gaza, a beautiful future awaits, but not if you hold hostages. If you do, you are dead. Make a smart decision. Release the hostages now, or they will be held to pay later.
All right, so now here's the situation. We have boots on the ground now, special forces in there, training with the IDF right now in Gaza. And they're there. Now, Trump has said he did not want to have our boots on the ground, but they're there, okay? And so now he said, well, they're not going to take part, but if they're training with IDF, what are they training for, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I got a feeling that Hamas, there's actually one of the speakers today there, he made a point that there's more Hamas now than there was before this all started, okay?
Yeah.
They've been recruiting, I mean, left and right through all the Muslim world. And so, anyhow, I don't think Trump's going to fool around with them. I think he's going to go after, because, see, a lot of the Hamas leaders are in Qatar and other places, and they know where they're at. And I got a feeling that what they're going to do is they're just going to go right after them. And the bad thing of it is that the civilians who happen to get in the way, collateral damage, they call it, that's the bad thing. But you got to stop these people. And it's not the Palestinian people, you know, especially, you know, there's, you know how many Palestinian Christians have died? A lot. And John, you know as well as I do, you've been there in Israel. The strongest Christians I ever met while I was in Israel were the Palestinian Christians. I went to a Baptist church there in Israel, in Jerusalem. A Baptist church had been bombed, Palestinian Christians, Baptists, been bombed 14 times.
Wow.
And so they're right in the middle. They're caught in the middle between the Antichrist communist Jews and the Muslims. They're caught right in the middle between them. And so, but they were some of the strongest Christians that I met while I was there. But anyhow, go ahead, little Lisa.
Okay. Now, this one is from the Gateway Pundit. Among his remarks tonight, Trump declared an end to weaponized government, specifically the kind that was used against him for years. He then turned to the Democrat side of the chamber and asked, how did that work out? It must absolutely kill these Dems to have to sit there and take this. They threw everything they could at this man, and yet here he is delivering his first address as president in his second term.
All right, there you go. Here's another one right here. Parent-free zones. We're going back to these corrupt courts. U.S. court rules that school had a right to hide a child's gender identity from the parents. Massachusetts parents of a middle school student are hoping to take their case against the child's school district to the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm not so sure about that court anymore, okay? That comes after a federal court ruled that they do not have a constitutional right to be informed that their daughter changed her gender identity and name while at school. The court essentially ruled that her school had a right to hide the information from the parents. That court is out of... that court has no authority. God has ruled on that. God has placed those children in the care of their parents, not that corrupt court. That court is a corrupt court. That court is out of line, and that court needs to repent of that and leave the family to God. The first U.S.
Right there, Sir Ernie. This is more of this court just usurping power that doesn't belong to it. Where does the Supreme Court get the authority from the Constitution to decide what a marriage is, Pastor? Where does the court get the... Where does it get the right to make that decision?
They have no rights.
They have no right, but the politicians have allowed them. They've usurped the authority.
Well, you know, and that's because we tolerated the politicians no more. They can't be tolerated anymore. It's got to stop.
Amen.
No more tolerance. And that's the feeling I got tonight. That was the feeling in the air there at the conference tonight. People have said enough is enough. No more. We're going to take the country back. And boy, we have to. Right now, I think we'll open the phone lines and take some calls. So the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. You have an article there, Randall.
Yes, sir. Allegations that Trump is a Russian asset are preposterous.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
Right. Especially if all else fails, let's call him a Russian asset. Oh, my goodness. Especially given his strong anti-Russian stance during his first presidency. Rather than accusing him of being pro-Russia, critics should listen carefully to what he is actually saying. He wants the Ukraine war to end with people stopping the killing and for the U.S. to stop financing it. He has even offered Ukraine a peace deal that includes minerals for the defense and guarantees Ukraine's security without requiring the country to join NATO, which would address Putin's primary concern regarding Ukraine. During his first term, President Donald Trump adopted several policies that were tough on Russia, despite his more conciliatory rhetoric words or towards President Vladimir Putin. Between 2017 and 2019, the Trump administration took 52 actions, including sanctions, military assistance, and diplomatic measures, all targeting Russia's malign activities. These actions were primarily a response to Russia's interference in the 2016 U.S. elections. Its involvement in Ukraine and its use of chemical weapons in the UK. In 2018, for instance, the administration imposed sanctions on Russian individuals and entities tied to election interference, cyber attacks, and the poisoning of former spy Sergei Skripal. Additionally, the U.S. expelled Russian diplomats and expose export restrictions following Russia's violation of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. It also approved lethal weapon sales to Ukraine, reaffirmed the U.S. rejection of Crimea's annexation, and bolstered Ukraine's naval capabilities. It also released the Russian oligarch list and continued imposing sanctions under the Russia Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act, targeting Russian elites and companies involved in illicit activities. Despite Trump's amicable interactions with Putin, these policies demonstrate a firm stance against Russian aggression and interference in internal affairs.
You know, here, this is insane. Taxpayers funded $241 million for transgender experiments on animals. That's right. The transgender issue became a cause to celebrate before Joe Biden and his regime. He pushed the ideology, unscientifically though it is, that men and boys can become women and girls and vice versa. His fight extended to the point that he was trying to force doctors with ethical and religious objections to do body mutilation surgeries, and was trying to force taxpayers to pay for it, and not just in the U.S., but around the globe. That he, President Donald Trump put a block on the agenda when he took office, stating that the government's official policy is that there are only two genders, men and women. But now a report reveals that over recent years, taxpayers have been billed for some $241 million for transgender experiments on animals. So it was just a week ago that the House Committee on Oversight and Reform in a hearing, well, actually it's been 3 weeks ago, transgender lab rats poisoned puppies. Well, I'm going to tell you, transgender lab rats poisoned puppies, oversight of taxpayer-funded animal cruelty, heard from Justin Goodman of the White Coat Waste Project about the spending. Goodman said, in a lot of the cases, they involve mice, rats, monkeys who are being surgically mutilated, subjected to hormone therapies to mimic female to male or male to female gender transitions, gender-affirming hormone therapy, and then looking at the biological, psychological, and physiological effects of the gender transitions. Looking at the effects of taking vaccines after you've transitioned these animals from male to female or female to male. Look at the size of the genitals changing after you put estrogen or testosterone therapies to transition. That's really sick.
Yes, it is.
That is so sick. It's liberal all the way. All right, I'm going to take some calls. Looks like we got AC. AC, you're in the air.
Hello, Chaplain. Lisa and Randolph. Is that everybody?
Yep.
How you doing?
Is everybody there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Two things here. First of all, you all were talking about the transfiguration, okay? And in Luke chapter 9, verse 27, Jesus said, "But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And then in verse 28, it says, "And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James up to a high mountain." Now, this is where the transfiguration took place, okay? And as you said, they recognized Moses and Elijah, okay? Now, remember what Jesus said in John to Nicodemus? He said you had to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. But he also said right before that, in John 3, verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Peter, James, and John actually got to see, in a moment of time, the kingdom of God by seeing Elijah and Moses there in the vision.
Yeah, and that would have an application for sure.
Right, right. So that proves what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. It's talking about recognizing people in heaven after the rapture takes place. And now Moses may not have cared about seeing Peter and James and John, but certainly they all recognized Moses and Elijah. okay? So that's significant. Now, the second thing I want to mention real quick here is in this story of the Jewish rich man and the Jewish beggar, and it's important that we recognize that these two individuals were Jewish, okay? And in this story, okay, this can't be a parable because all parables have symbols, and we have a real character of the Bible, Abraham. We have a real name applied to Lazarus, and there's a reason why the rich man isn't named. He's a real person, but Jesus didn't name him, okay? So the rich man, there's no symbols in this story. The rich man is talking about a place of torment. That's hell, okay? It's a real place. And he's literally burning in this hell. So there's no symbolism of flame. There's a real flame in hell, and this guy was experiencing it. And so notice that this rich man, number one, Jesus didn't name him. You know why he didn't name him? Because people are either going to be forgiven or they're going to be forgotten. And ultimately, all the wicked are going to be forgotten by God. And that's why this rich man wasn't named. And notice, when he cried out, he had an evangelistic moment, this rich man in hell. And he said, I have five brethren, and send Lazarus that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Notice what Abraham said and didn't say. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Notice Abraham didn't say they have Jesus or they will have Jesus or they have the church. In other words, this Jewish rich man in hell was responsible to have learned from Moses and the prophets about the way to salvation.
All right, very, very good. I've got to move on, though, because the board is lighting up. And so, but thanks for that. Let's go to San Diego and Jack. Jack, you're in the air.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about a president's investment in Bitcoin. I don't know if the federal government should be making investments. I mean, is he going to invest in the stock market next? They're comparing it to a store of value like the gold in Fort Knox.
It looks like all of Congress has been making investments. We call it insider trading.
Well, you know, the Congress, that's a different story than, you know, making an investment on behalf of the American people and comparing it to storing gold at Fort Knox. I think it's very difficult to support the dollar and Bitcoin at the same time. So I was wondering what your opinion was of this maneuver.
You know, I'm a little concerned about that. In fact, a lot concerned about that. To me, this Bitcoin, what is it? Digital information, okay? Is there any intrinsic value in this Bitcoin?
No, Jerry Seinfeld once said about his TV show, is Seinfeld, he said, it's a show about nothing. Bitcoin is nothing. I mean, at least for the people that invested in Beanie Babies and then saw these little stuffed animals collapse in value, at least they had a physical Beanie Baby to play with. But with Bitcoin, it's an investment in absolutely nothing. I'm sure you all know who Warren Buffett is.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I wouldn't give you 25 cents for all the Bitcoin in the world. I'm not a believer in it, and frankly, isn't it a religious experience in that for you to invest in Bitcoin, you have to have faith that it has value today and tomorrow. It's an investment in nothing. There's nothing behind it. They don't really know who invented it, and they don't know who controls it. They try to tell the public that there's only going to be 21 million bitcoins. Okay, that sounds great, but who's in charge of that? Look, it wasn't that long ago. Didn't we have a scandal around this Sam Bankman-Fried character?
Yeah.
And he took people for billions of dollars? That was all this cryptocurrency crap. I don't know how Trump got hooked into this, but I believe that he's got involved in something he doesn't really know about. And I'll give you an example. The blockchain. Can anybody on your panel explain to me what the blockchain is and how it works?
Me turn again. Go ahead, John.
No, I can't, Mr. Ernie. I turned off all that stuff. All of it. I'm like the caller. I'm my opinion is the same as his.
And so you don't have a whole lot, right? The idea is, where does the value come with this digital currency? What is the value? What is it based upon?
Yeah. Okay. Well, they'll tell you the value is that they'll never make more than 21 million coins. Now, what if they said that about the dollar? We'll never print more than $21 million. Well, you wouldn't have an economy because there's, you know, billions and billions of dollars in circulation because of the population increasing. You have to increase the amount of money in circulation. That's pretty much done arbitrarily. And I think one of the big factors that's missing here is we already have a digital currency. It's called the dollar. Most people, Pastor Ernie, today don't deal in paper money. And we're all using some form of cryptocurrency when we use a credit card or make a wire transfer. It's already digital. Our currency is already digital.
Okay, well, tell me this, Jack. Tell me this. What is it that Trump knows? Because Trump's a pretty smart man. What is it that Elon Musk knows that that we don't?
Well, I think that... have you ever been sold a bill of goods? You know, that's... I think they pretty much have run a con on the president. Now, it's very possible Elon Musk could really believe all this stuff. But let me give you an example of where we're going with this. The Federal Reserve controls the currency. If you look at a paper bill, it says Federal Reserve note, okay? The GAO says that the Federal Reserve is a private institution. Like the post office at Amtrak, you've heard the talk recently. They want to privatize the post office at Amtrak. Well, they're already privatized because they operate off of their profits. And they're supposed to be self-sustaining, and they're not. It's called a government-sponsored enterprise. So here's the dirty little secret: when the Federal Reserve, for example, has to buy Treasury notes because they had a bad auction and they didn't sell them all, the Federal Reserve comes in and buys everything that wasn't sold. And how do they do that? They print money on a computer and then they add it to their balance sheet, which it's right now is $9 trillion. That's money they've spent for treasuries that they never had in the first place. And the theory is they'll eventually pay it back and bring the balance sheet down to zero. That never happens. But my point is that the Federal Reserve prints money today with the stroke of a computer key, and it's digital. They print very little physical money, and when they do, they pay the Treasury Department a fee to print it. It costs about 10 cents to print a $100 bill. So there you go. Now, I'm just saying I wanted to throw that out there because we should probably take a second look at what the president's doing.
Yeah, well, you know, again, like I said, I don't know what it is that he knows that we don't, but there's really not a whole lot that you or I can do.
Well, look, you can't be all things to all men, and I think the president has swerved into something that he doesn't really have expertise in. I think he was sold a bill of goods. And like I say, the federal government should never start getting involved in the investment business. Are they going to start buying stocks next?
Well, I would agree with you there. I would agree with you there. They should stay out of there.
I'll tell you what, if they got extra money to go out in the open market and buy Bitcoin, take that money and pay down the debt. That's your first obligation.
One of the things I would do would get rid of the Federal Reserve. That would be one of the very first things I would do. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because you swerved into something. You know, with Elon Musk auditing everything, isn't it interesting that he's never mentioned he's going to audit the Federal Reserve, and they've never had an outside independent audit. It's about time they do. Elon Musk, I'm calling you out. Audit the Federal Reserve.
Well, in the past, people that have talked about doing that have ended up getting a good case of lead poisoning. And so,
well, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's hired bodyguards. The bodyguards go with him everywhere.
Well, you know, if you're talking about Elon Musk, yeah, if you're the richest man.
Elon Musk has hired his own private security. And, oh, by the way, maybe some night we should talk about the physical attacks on Tesla dealerships, and they're also destroying Tesla charging stations. You know, if you own a Tesla, you have to use a special charging station that only works for Teslas, doesn't work on other cars. And these crazy commies are out there destroying his dealerships, shooting them up even, and destroying the charging stations for Tesla.
Yeah. Musk has always had, you know, you don't see them, but he's always had private security. The same thing, too, with Trump. Trump has more than just the Secret Service, okay, because he's got so many enemies out there. They have to have nowadays, but...
Well, not only that, you don't even know if you can trust the Secret Service today.
Well, that's exactly what I mean. He has to have his own security to keep an eye on them.
Look, we've never gotten... a complete report on the two assassination attempts.
That's coming. That is something that they announced today, that Trump, there's going to be a report. Trump wants to know all about it, who it is. We kind of have a feeling, why do I know this, that Joe Biden, you know, the guy that says, I will stop Trump, he will not run again, I will put a target on him. It kind of sounds to me that Biden had plans for Trump and they weren't good, right?
Oh, well, maybe Biden signed off on the assassination attempts.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I, you know, it's just like with Lyndon Johnson and JFK. There wasn't any doubts in my mind and, you know, who was behind that. But all right, I got to move on, Jack, so.
Okay, good talking to you.
You
have
too.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Have the same. All right. What time is it? We're getting up close to that time. Let's go out to the Cleveland, Steve. Steve, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. First of all, you need to go to Washington and see if you can sit down with Trump and Musk and educate them in your sense.
That would be easier said than done.
So much in your mind there. You're a smart guy. Any man that can have the weight of the world on his shoulders and wants to do what he's doing, he wants to create some type of security and money so that money can build up and pay down the debt. So if it doesn't pay down the 36 or 7 trillion, seeing all the houses right now, they say all the home equities is about 35 trillion, seems kind of matched. That's 190, 200 million, 200 trillion if you go on clock debt or whatever it is. You know, things get all the numbers keep spinning about 80 miles an hour. The last call, you can break a lot of stuff down, but If you sat with Trump at 78 years old with about 160-something IQ, that man says if people listen to him when he goes off script, goes, that's genius. It's because that man is a genius. And you have Elon Musk, who has Asperger's. I mean, you have two of the smartest men in the world taking on the world, let alone, I call them the miserable liberals. It's unbelievable what we're up against, but they took their mask off. But Trump knows exactly what he's doing. He just did the right people the first time. But he's new sheriffs in town. Everybody wants to get out of Dodge, but they're not smart enough to get out of his way. And once things roll, it's going to go one way or another. But God raised this man up, and with people like you behind him, and Pastor Joe, glad to hear you tonight. Trump is the smartest president we have ever had. And I hope people, why can they question somebody that's done more in a month and a half than what's been done in 20 years? Bannon says, you know, a lot of things don't happen for decades, and then decades happen in weeks. And it's right in front of people. This is a very stupid country.
Bannon says there's a lot of these communists are going to jail. He's talking about it. I know that Comey's right at the top of the list right there, and Comey, I know, is sweating it, and John, you know that Comey is not going to take a fall by himself. He's going to try to cut a deal, and if that means he'll roll over on the other communist, he'll do it, won't he?
I think he will, Pastor Ernie. I mean, he's not... Why wouldn't he not? I mean... He's the. You see, what happens is there's a guideline with sentencing people to jail, and him being the director of the FBI, he gets special attention for corruption cases. So he faces some really bad things in going to jail. So I'm sure he would want to do everything he could to stay out or to keep. You know, down to a minimum, the amount of time he'd have in jail. So, yeah, I think it's highly probable he's going to cooperate.
And you have, like Strzok and, that woman that he was with, can't remember her right now. Both of them, the one they were having an affair at the same time, they were pulling the fake Russia scam. All of that stuff, what they did, and now I guess there's this thing here recently in New York where the stay behinds were there to try to make sure that they didn't get the names. And what is going on with all of this too with the Epstein files? Some of the congressmen, Republicans, are saying that they've been redacted so bad that. And the others have been destroyed. I guess we're going to find out because the names on Epstein's Island, those are many of the same people that were at P. Diddy's place. And so hush money, huge amounts of hush money is being paid, isn't it?
It's hard. My head is spinning with this thing, Pastor Ernie. The size of it, the amount of people involved, the money that's involved in it. So probably we've got the upper echelons there. You know, the ones that are really moving and shaking with trafficking children and all that. We might be at the very heart of it, Pastor Ernie.
And so this will be very interesting. Why do I believe that Hillary Clinton is right dead in the center of all this?
She's in the middle of it. Look at her face when she's alongside of Bill. Bill's got a smile, and she looks like she's ready for Halloween.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat, just wanted to say, you and Trump have one thing in common. You guys ain't afraid of nothing. And I'm telling you, you look at the liberals, they're afraid to look in the mirror. But
well,
Pastor Joe, Pastor Sanders, God bless you, and keep fighting the fight.
Thanks,
love
Steve.
You guys. God bless.
Yep. I think Trump and me both fear God, and that's a good thing, isn't it? And so, already, you know, guess what? Guess what time it is? We're there. All right, Big John.
Pastor Ernie?
Yes, sir.
My voice is just about gone. Is there any chance you could jump in quickly for me?
Well, I could do that, but I don't have to because I got Elder Barkley sitting right here, and he's dying to do just that. And so I'll just turn Elder Barkley, and let him.
We got you covered, John.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Indeed. Listen, this is serious business right now. Listen, Pastor always talks about don't run out of your tomorrows today. And we have to understand that time is of the essence as it relates to making sure if your heart is not right with Christ, that you get that together tonight, because this could be the end. This could be the end. And so the word of God says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And so we need to understand that God is coming back very soon. It's going to come. He's going to come, as many say, in the twinkling of an eye. And you won't have time to say then, hey, Lord, save me now. You have to make that choice now. God is giving you the opportunity right now. So if you know that things are not right, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, it's no light thing if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. And it is important. I know we hear right now, we see all these investigations that are going on, and you see them talking about books that are lost and different things like this. But I tell you one thing, you want to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because Revelation says this, and then I'm going to give you a chance to accept Christ. He says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is why Jesus Christ also told his disciples, they came back, they were rejoicing over the fact that they had power over the serpents and the scorpions. And he told them, hey, listen, don't rejoice over that, but rejoice over the fact that your names are written in heaven, or in essence in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to invite you tonight to get your name written in that book. Listen, they can destroy all kind of books down here, but what you have done, it is recorded in heaven. It is recorded in heaven. So these people that think that they're getting away, they're not getting away. They're not getting away. And this is an opportunity for you to repent of your sins and make sure that your name is written in that book of life, because that's not going to be a good day. And there's a warning. Again, we understand about the first death, but God is telling us clearly that there is this second death. And so if you want to avoid that, all you need to do, the work has been done. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ's blood atoning work, that has already been accomplished on Calvary on the cross. And so all you need to do is in your heart believe that he went through this, and that God raised him from the dead, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that he paid the penalty for you and for I. And if you accept him tonight, your sins can be washed away. You can have redemption. Your relationship with God can be restored, and you can look forward to being in eternity with God. And so if that's you tonight, and there's a tugging on your heart, you feel something moving, you say, you know what, I don't want to let this night go without accepting Jesus Christ. Why don't you pray with me? Father God, we want to thank you, Lord God, for those that, Father God, right now, Lord God, are making a decision to accept you as Lord and as Savior. And we are asking you that according to Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, Lord Jesus, those tonight that are acknowledging the fact that they are sinners and that they need you, Father God, to save them from their sins, Father God. Oh, Father God, if you would hear their prayers tonight and come into their hearts, Lord God, and eternally be with them and teach them, lead them, and guide them, Father God, in this life, Father God, that they may cross over, Father God, and see you. So, Father God, if they have prayed that, we believe that they are saved, and we pray that, Lord God, as you order the steps of every man, Lord God, good man, Father God, that you would order their steps to find the church home, the pastors that they need to for furtherance, Lord God, to guide them, Lord God, into the things of God. We ask you this right now in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. This coming Sunday, Lord's willing, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, I will be preaching on truth, justification, and the believer's glorious, glorious moment. Okay. In other words, the greatest time, well, you might say the believer's payday. And that all takes place at a certain place at a certain time. And so that's what I'm going to be preaching on, Lord's willing, unless the Lord changes that up. So that's the Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. That's 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, and 44065. We start at 9 o'clock in the morning with an in-depth Bible study. And that goes until 10. We start with prayer. All you folks out there that have been supporting us for all these years, we have stacks and stacks of your letters, and we take them and we divide them up all the way down the table, and we pray over. We pray for you because you've blessed us, and now we are praying for you. And then the morning service starts at about 11:30. It used to be 11:15, but now it's about 11:30. And then we're going to also be having going back to the 4 o'clock services. That is with the Bible and current events. And then Pastor Hal is preaching the 5 o'clock service. So we have a pretty full day on Sunday, don't we there?
Yes.
All right. We're there where we're at, where we say it's time to say thanks for being here with us. And we want to say good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless.
God bless.
And then we did it before Trump. We want to say always. Ready?
Always.
Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Fight. Fight. Fight.
Fight.
Fight.
Fight.
Fight.
Fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.